As we were traveling up this way, my wife always puts on some gospel music to kind of get me in the frame of mind and get my mind off of the world and what's going on in it. But we listened to the author and the singer of that song. And as we listened to it, she remarked to me, she said, "You know, Squire Parsons has finally reached Beulah Land." And, you know, I always thought, you know, what's that going to be like? I'd always had a prayer when I was first in the ministry that, "Lord, let me be standing upon the earth whenever that you break the eastern sky, because I truly want to see you." But, you know, whether under the earth or on top of the earth, whenever that he comes, every eye shall behold him and shall see him. And we which are in Christ will be caught up with him. Whether we're standing upon the earth or whether that we resurrect from the graves, we're going to be like him and see him as he is. We're truly grateful to be here today, thankful for every thing that's been spoken thus far. And we ask that you pray for this service, that whatever that we say or do, that God might be honored and glorified in it. If you have lost loved ones, take a portion of the message to them and tell them that that day is coming, that they need to make preparation, like the ark that Sister Patsy talked about. Noah preached for 120 years, warned them of something they'd never seen before that was going to be coming upon the face of the earth. And the only escape, the only way to avoid the judgment of that was to enter in the ark through the door. In this day and age in which that we live, Christ Jesus is that door. He is the door unto the sheepfold. He is the light. He is today the way of salvation. So warn those, encourage those that you know of that may be lost to get into the ark. If you have your Bible with you, turn with us to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew's gospel. 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. This, of course, written by one of Christ's disciples and apostles, Matthew, otherwise known as Levi. He had a very popular job. He was a tax collector in the days in which that Jesus lived. And you know, I'm sure that he had a very lucrative livelihood. He probably had a lot of possessions because of his position. But you know, it says he got up from his table and he went and followed Jesus. There's something about following Jesus today. And so this takes place in the region of Galilee, kind of in the northern area of Israel, kind of at the top of the Sea of Galilee, kind of where the last of the 10 tribes of Israel that's separated from the kingdom of Solomon, kind of where that they're located at. And we want to begin our reading lesson with the first verse where that we find these words. "And when he," that is Jesus, "called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, as we were just speaking about, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levaeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite," and you'll find his name as being Simon the Zealot, "and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and not into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. And that last portion of our reading lesson today will be our theme and will be our verse text today. Freely ye have received, freely give. And today we probably would look at this and say, well, this was only for a limited commission by Jesus, so it applies only to him. But as you look at this, I think it speaks to all of us in this day and time. All the churches, all those that are serving God in taking the gospel into all the world. And no matter what the circumstances are around about us, we are still bound in covenant to take the gospel unto every creature, to preach, to baptize those that are saved in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But our theme will come from that verse of Scripture. And whenever that he said, freely ye have received, what was he speaking about? Was he talking about the fish that they ate, or perhaps the bread that they had at times whenever that they ate together? I think it goes a little more deeper than that. I think it has to do with having received grace. And if one has received grace, let him give grace. In other words, let us be a conduit through whom that God would work and that Jesus would reach out into the lost. Now, we hear the word grace used so many times. We find it in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it's used basically about 89 times. I got my numbers mixed up. About 89 times. 89 times. You wouldn't think in the Old Testament, with it being the law, and keep the law, and do right by God, who is just, and who is good and who is perfect, you would think that you would not find the word grace. We sometimes think grace is just for the New Testament. But we find grace in the Old Testament, where the God spared. Look at Nineveh today. Just a few words that Jonah spoke. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God spared Nineveh. And we find other instances of that, where that God spared some people that we would not figure God would spare. We find in the New Testament that grace is used 139 times. And guess who used grace the most and spoke of grace and preached grace today? Yes, the Apostle Paul. And so grace is found throughout the Scriptures. We receive grace whenever that we are saved by grace. God shows his favor upon us in saving us. Now, God is not obligated in saving our souls. God is not bound by anything. God is not going to, well, I'm going to just, save them and that will be it. No, he loved mankind so much that he was willing to send his son into the world to die for our sins. Then we find over in Romans chapter 5, Paul goes down a list of things that talk about the great love of God towards us and Christ's love towards us. And he says, look at all of this. Look at the plan of salvation. Scarcely for a good man would anyone die. Scarcely for a righteous man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. That was the greatest of grace that was bestowed upon mankind, upon us that have heard the gospel and responded unto it today. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We find in another place where he says, Christ died for the ungodly. And someone will say, well, that doesn't put us in a very good category. But whenever that you think about how that we appeared before God and how that we were because of our sins, we find that the Bible teaches that we are as an unclean thing. The poison of asp is under our lips. Everything that the writer could think of to describe unsaved, darkened humanity, he pinned down within that book. And you know, you find over in the book of Ephesians where that it talks about in the second chapter this very same thing. But there's a little conjunction in that writing, a pivot point today. God could have sent judgment upon us as he did upon nations that forsook us. And in the middle of Ephesians, it says, but God, who is rich in grace and in mercy, while we were without strength, sent his son into the world to die for us. Someone will remark, well, you talk a lot about that. Grace is beyond the definition of mankind. In fact, grace does not really come from mankind. Now, we find that some will get together, they'll have a meal, and they'll say, let's say grace. Or they'll talk about, let's do some good. Or let's do for this one. But I want you to realize today that God gives grace. Now, what are we to do with it? If we've received the grace of God, what are we to do with it today? You know, on one occasion, Jesus healed 10 lepers. 10 lepers. 9 of them took off. But there was one that came back and thanked him for what he had done. Jesus was amazed, and he said, where are the other 9? And you know, we can take salvation, go and live the rest of our lives the way that we would like to. But I want you to know, there is that obligation. And I'm not trying to lay guilt tripping. God does not lay guilt trips upon us. But I think grace gives us and imposes upon us a greater obligation to thank God for what he has done. Paul said in one place, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In other words, indescribable gift that was given unto us in Christ Jesus. How can you define the grace of God through Christ Jesus? It is beyond vocabulary. It is beyond words today. It is beyond even the comprehension of the human mind. How that someone, without requiring a debt to be paid unto him, or anything given unto him for what he has done, it's hard to imagine. God that is merciful, God that is loving, God that is gracious towards mankind. And we know that verse of scripture that's found over in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter and in the 8th and 9th verse, for by grace are ye saved, and that not of yourselves. It is through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he goes on, and sometimes this is the verse portion that I've read in your hearing in this little bulletin, that we sometimes forget about, I forget about, for we are his workmanship. His grace works something within us. We're changed. We are a new creature in him. and our disposition, the way that we think spiritually, changes. After that I was saved, I wanted everybody to know about it. I even began to get a little huffy, because I'd gone deceived for so many years. And then whenever that I found salvation, oh my goodness, I got something nobody else has got. I and my Father, whom I admired, I used to wonder, well, you know, he didn't get it the way that I did. And I began to get a little bit judgmental. I want to tell you something today. God doesn't give us a spirit of judgmentalism or of condemnation. He gives us a spirit of wanting to share the gospel. The gospel has been described as two beggars telling another beggar where to find bread. And I think that's a very good natural way of describing it today. But we understand that we cannot fully comprehend a God that would not require anything for us. The sacrifice was already made, and we believed upon him. We received it of him today. I want you to know that even in everyday life, that grace works through us. I admire the Apostle Paul. I read things as much as I can about him. One time we were talking in Sunday school or one of the Bible studies about Paul, what Paul would have looked like. And one of the ladies said, well, you know, I always kind of figured he looked like Victor Mature. And I know the younger ones don't understand who that is. Let's just say he looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he was just a big guy that was commanding. And you know, as you read about Paul's life, he had grace within his life. He was beaten 40 times, save one stripe. Same type of beating that the Lord Jesus Christ had gone through. He was stoned with stones till they thought he was dead. And we find that he was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a viper that normally would have killed an individual. So the grace of God was with him. And I think it's not so much the appearance of Paul that we need to speculate about, but it's the grace that drove him today. But he even said so himself. He said, I've got a thorn in my flesh. Have you ever stepped on a thorn? Lord, don't. I hope you never do. One of the most painful things to be experienced. But this was a goad that just went down to the quick with Paul. He had a thorn within his side. He said, there's a messenger of Satan that has come to buffet me, to keep me from preaching the gospel. But he said, thrice I besought God for it. And he said, the same answer, the answer was the same all the way through. My grace is sufficient unto thee. My grace is sufficient unto thee. My grace is sufficient unto thee. And Paul learned from that lesson. He said, it makes me realize just how weak I am, but that through Christ I can be strengthened and that I am strong. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, Paul says in one place. And that's how that it is for us. We might say, well, we cannot affect the world that we're in. Look at the condition of it. Look at the people that are in it. Look at the people that can give a great argument to try to down and to try to attest that there is no God. I mean, think about it today. I mean, they've got this down. They've got it prepared. And we think to ourselves, we cannot stand against that. But I want to tell you something. You've got something they don't have. And that's Christ dwelling within you, the hope of glory. And I want you to know sometimes it's the personal experience of salvation that baffles them. You mean to tell me, they will say, that you can know that you're going to heaven if there is a heaven? Sure can. Because I experienced grace from somebody today that came down from heaven to bestow this upon me. Now, I want you to know that even in the weakness of what we think that we cannot do, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. who strengthens me. And he says, in that weakness, he said, I am made strong. I am made low. Why, Paul? Because he said, through that, the power of Christ goes through me. Now, what do we do with this grace that God has given and bestowed upon us? The Bible tells us over in the book of Matthew that Jesus taught them about loving and about grace being shown to someone else. There was a man that fell among thieves and was bruised and was robbed and left by the wayside. As he was there dying, they said that a Levite came by. That's a priest of the temple. And as he walked along, you know, he kind of, wonder what he did wrong, and went on his way. And then another one walked by. Same thing. In fact, I don't want to get involved with this. You know, there's that. I bet that's a scam right there. But the Bible tells us that there was a Samaritan. And you know, Jesus chose the Samaritan because the Jews utterly despised Samaritans. But he used that to show that God can use anyone, and he can use someone even that we think should not be allowed to be involved in God's plan. That Samaritan took that man, put oil upon his wounds, took him to a village, took him to an inn, and gave money to the innkeeper, and said to that innkeeper, now whatever he needs, ye lay that to my charge, and whenever I come back, I will pay it. That's giving grace. He didn't even know the man. You know, sometimes we can do that for others that we see around us. You know, just the simplicity of opening a door for somebody. Well, I open doors for, you know, if it's a lady, but I open them also for the ladies and also for gentlemen. And you know, it makes an impression. And I'm not using myself and bragging myself up, but you know, that's allowing that grace. That's an example of everyday life, of allowing that grace to shine forth and to be used of you. You can never tell what kind of an effect that it can have. Sometimes they'll just wonder what his problem is. Or, I've never seen anybody open a door. But that's the whole point of it today. We're living in generations that have no idea who even God is. And you know, there's some of them that, God forbid, they don't even have an idea. They're just about as weak and ignorant of the fact that God is and that Jesus died as some of them over in foreign countries. I used to joke with my wife. I said the conditions are getting to be such that they'll be sending foreign missions from those countries we sent them to before to preach the gospel to this generation or these people here that have lapsed into agnosticism or into atheism. And I've seen where that there have been some that have come and are concerned. But you know, it's up to us. It's up to Elkton Church. And I want to tell you today, you are the light of the world. A city that is set upon the hill cannot be hid. You have the gift of eternal life dwelling within you. You have had grace bestowed upon you. And you might say, well, you know, I'll just give them a bottle of water. Fine. The Bible says, even if you give a cup of water in the name of a prophet, you shall not lose a prophet's reward. Give them that bottle of water, whether they thank you or not. Give that unto them. And then we find that there are instances of where that God forgives people and then they forget. They lay it aside. The Bible tells us over in one place that there was a man in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew's gospel that the Bible says he had a great debt that he had to pay and had no resources whatsoever to pay it. And the king to whom that he owed this debt said, bind him, his family, his children, and cast them into a prison or into custody until that debt is paid. Do you know what the man did? He came and he begged the king to spare him, spare his family, to look upon him with pity and with understanding. And the Bible says the king forgave him and said, you have no more debt. Do you know that God forgives the sin debt in us? He doesn't remember it. He's not going to bring it up again. And let me, this is just a little extra. If you get to doubting and you get to thinking, well, I'm not worthy of Christ's salvation. I don't even know that I've been spared or that God has even saved me. Let me tell you something. Satan will do everything he can to try to destroy your testimony. He'll do everything that he can to get you to doubt God. He'll do everything he did, like he did to Job. Accuse Job unto God, and then get Job to blaspheme God. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you, if you worry about your salvation, my grandmother used to say, well, at least you got something to worry about. And boy, she helped a lot of people with that. They got to wondering if they were saved. But this man, to whom the debt was forgiven, he went to one of his fellow, and he said, you owe me 100 pence. You owe me 100 pence. And I'm going to either shake it out of you or get it out of you in prison. Now that's a person that forgets the grace of God. In fact, you even have to wonder, did he really experience the grace of God? Why would he treat his fellow like that? Why did he not show grace unto that individual? We have another instance over in the book of John. The Bible tells us, here come the Pharisees, as Jesus was teaching in the temple. And they brought a woman that had been caught in the act of adultery. Now I want to tell you something. Those Pharisees did not care about the woman. They did not care about the law of Moses. They wanted to trip Jesus up, and they were willing to even violate the scriptures to do it. Because you see, they caught her, and they took her, and they wanted him to make the deciding factor as to whether they'd stone her or not. Now, according to the law of Moses, there was no doubt that she was guilty. There was no doubt that she was caught in this act. And you know, there was Jesus down in the dust. It looked like he was drawing circles, and actually he was writing something. You know that in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it says, if there are two that are caught in the act of adultery, bring both of them. I ask you, where was the man? Think about it. Where was the man? You see, it takes two to tango. Now, realize today that that might sound rather terse, but my friend, they were willing to try to break the law of God so that they could stone this woman and discredit Jesus. Do you know what Jesus said to them? Let he that is without sin cast the first stone. Let he that is without sin cast the first stone. And you know what happened? I better get home. Wife's fixing something. You want to go, Eleazar, have a meal with me? Well, they were sure quick to forget about it, weren't they? But I want to tell you something today, my friend. As Jesus was writing, I don't know what he wrote. I've always speculated about it. But I wonder if he was writing names in that dust and said, let you that is without sin cast the first stone. Now that's grace on the part of Jesus. because only He can forgive sins today. And He forgives those. There is no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. And you know, if those people would have just given grace unto this woman, I want you to know things would have gone fine and would have gone well for them. But the Bible also goes on and says, Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. That's grace today. Now I realize this morning, whenever that we say that, there's a call for us to extend. Let me move the rock for if I'm falling. There's a call for us to extend grace to others. I don't mean to overlook, but I mean to look at really who that you're looking at. Do you know that there's an old saying, I don't know where it comes from, but there's an old saying that if you want to see somebody's soul, look right into their eyes. And you know, I've done that with people that are drug addicts that came into the pharmacy where I was at. You get to talking to them, you look into their eyes, and there would be this realization, this is a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. When I worked in Bordeaux, down in Tennessee, there would be prostitutes that would come in to get penicillin shots. And you know, it's like, I don't want to touch her. I don't want to be defiled, you know. But you look into their eyes and you think they are bound. They are in chains. They cannot free themselves, and though they use the most vulgar language you can imagine and will refute anything that you say, yet they are a soul that needs Jesus. They are a soul that needs grace. And I told my wife one time, I said, you know, I go away from that place, and I want to tell you, it takes about all of the starch out of my pride and all my starch out of the judgmentalism. Now, I'm not saying that you do this, but I want you to know today, you've got something today that the world is hungry for. They may not act like it. They may not show it. They may not speak it. But every soul today needs Jesus. Doesn't matter where they're at. They may be in a convenience store walking in. They may be riding a horse and buggy. I want to tell you, Don't talk about the former days being better, because they weren't. Because in those former days, everybody there said, well, those former days were better there, and those former days were better there. I want to tell you something. You can do like I've always purposed to do. Go live in a cave and just live like a hermit. But that's not going to cut it. My friend, this world needs Jesus. My friend, they need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And you might say today, well, what do we do, preacher? Do we come up to them, you know, with a Bible and slap them upside the head and tell them to repent? No. What you can do is be there and listen. You can be there and listen to them. And I'll guarantee if you give the day into the hand of the Lord to use you the way that He would want to, I'll guarantee you somebody's going to come along. Somebody's going to come along. The Bible tells us about a man named Philip. God told him, go out in the desert and stand there. Now, how many of you would do that? How many of you would do that? How many of you would go to the Mojave Desert if God told you to do it and just stand there waiting for God? But you know, while Philip was standing there, here comes a chariot up over the sand dune. And it's a eunuch from Ethiopia. He'd been down offering sacrifices in Jerusalem. And he was reading out of the 53rd, what we would call the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. How that he is a man acquainted with grief. How that he's been smitten and stricken of God. But yet by his stripes we are healed. The man had no idea who he was. Is he talking about Israel? Is he talking about this? Is he talking about that? And so we bid Philip to come up into the chariot, and Philip began to read it, and he opened his mouth, and you know what he started doing? He started preaching Jesus. Pardon my Bible thumping here, but he began preaching Jesus to the man. Now, God opened up the opportunity for Philip, didn't he? He opened up the opportunity. Now, if you're not led of God to do it, you know, just wait on God. But I'm saying today, if God moves on your heart, and you have a compassion towards somebody or others, you know, seek out ways today to serve them. The Bible tells us in the latter part of the third chapter of the book of Colossians, it said, as Christ has forgiven you, so do ye also. Can you hang on a cross and look out and see the people that are enemies to you and hate you and revile? Can you say, Father, forgive them? For they know not what they do. I can't do it in the natural, but through Christ Jesus and because of Christ Jesus, I can. We can show grace in our daily lives. Acts of love, acts of kindness, acts of charity, any kind of thing, even responding to the faults of others and the sorrows of others and the problems of others. You know, I can't solve this for you, but I'll sit down and I'll listen. And I'll give you whatever advice can help you, if God allows me to. So he said in another place, I send you out as sheep among wolves. And that's how that you go from this place. Members of Elkton Church, those saved people that are here today, you're going out among wolves. But I want to tell you something, Jesus will go with you. He'll be with you. And I want you to know there'll be somebody out there, perhaps. Maybe not. Well, what do I do then, preacher? You said to go out. Well, maybe you can pray for them. And the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want you to know, my friend, because of the prayers of prophets and because of the prayers of righteous holy men, kingdoms have fallen. The righteous have been delivered. They've been able to overcome a flood and overcome a deluge that hits the earth because that there was a place of safety, an ark with a door into it and someone directing them into that ark. So as we close our few remarks, you haven't done anything. Oh, I don't know why I'm preaching this, but you all haven't done anything bad that I know of. But I want you to know, I want to encourage you today, because it's so easy to look at what's going on and think, what's the use? What's the use? And boy, don't give Satan a foothold in that, because he'll come back at you and say, yeah, what's the use? That's right. That's right. Can you hear his little sneering voice? I hope you haven't. But have you ever heard his little sneering voice just say, what's the use? Nobody's going to hear you. Nobody's going to pay any attention to you. Nobody likes you. You know, and pretty soon you can back yourself up into a cave. Oh, been there, done that. My wife said, if I find you're missing someday, I know they have the conservation department check out every cave in the area. And there you'll find an Elijah whining, carrying on to God about no one is listening. Stand strong in the Lord. I want you to know that song that we sang, Victory in Jesus, that's the truth. We shall reap if we faint not. That's what the Bible teaches today. So as you have received grace, give also unto them. Freely have you received grace. Freely give grace today would be our message to you this morning.